Well, the Canadian Institute for Marriage and Family came out with a report in September, and it found in its study that various governments that have tried incentives to try to coax higher fertility among their population, incentive programs such as family allowances, daycare subsidies, child welfare payments, parental wage compensation for a parent to stay home, they found that while this was an experiment they thought might increase populations, it only had a very temporary impact, not long term. Joining us is the author of this study for the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, Peter John Mitchell. Peter John, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So in Germany and Sweden, they've tried this. You don't think it's working there?
Well, certainly Germany still has a very low birth rate. Sweden has a higher birth rate than Canada. So they've been able to coax out a little bit of a higher fertility rate, but not enough to replace the population. And typically what's happened in Sweden, if you look at their fertility, it tends to bounce up and down. It's very hard to, and they've had problems sustaining the kind of level of funding that they've been offering for social programs. And obviously with the economy the way it is right now, it becomes more difficult to sustain the kind of funding and the kind of social programs that they've been initiating.
So families get a little ginchy. They look at the social program and say, not so sure that they'll be able to sustain that program. And with the economy the way it is, maybe one of us has to give up the idea of staying home.
Well, I think sometimes what happens is in that particular case, is the benefits are offered and then they have to be rescinded or they have to be compromised or cut back. So it is, in that particular case, it's been very difficult. In other cases, such as Germany, which you mentioned, it seems that whatever they try doesn't seem to be effective in terms of bringing the birth rate up.
It did briefly, though, right?
Yes, it has briefly brought it up. One of the concerns that demographers have had is that their birth rate has become so low that it might not be recoverable, and that it might just be sort of a cultural, become sort of accustomed to having smaller families and growing up in smaller families, and that trend just sort of continues on itself.
Well, let's take a look at some of the things that have changed in society. In your report, you point out that as we've moved from an agrarian society, the need to have children just to get the chores done has decreased.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, kids have moved from being an economic benefit to being a cost, for sure. And so that's, as we move in a knowledge-based economy, they're not helping out on the family farm, that sort of thing. But also the movement to a knowledge-based economy means that if we're going to get suitable employment, we need to spend longer in school. And certainly that means that we're delaying entering marriage, entering relationships where we'll be having children. So we're both seeing the marriage rate increase, the age of marriage increase, and also the age of first birth as well. So people are putting childbearing on hold, and that's also having an effect that we're having less children because that period in which we would have children is shrinking.
So interestingly, in your study, you found that the various incentives that governments try don't appear to be terribly effective in getting a higher fertility rate. You're encouraging instead that we have a culture that goes back to valuing marriage for the purpose of raising a family.
Well, yeah, as the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, I'm always thinking about ways that marriage might contribute to different social issues. And I think in this way, we are saying that if we are encouraging marriages to go the distance, and that's one of the things that affects fertility in some way, is that when marriages break down, it interrupts the fertility years, results in less children being born. If we are supporting and creating a culture that supports marriage and marriage is going the distance, that this will help fertility in some way. It's not going to be the difference that puts us over that 2.1 children per woman, but it's something that could contribute to fertility.
So how do you do that? How do you change a culture so that culture once again returns to the idea that familyhood is a good thing?
Well, there's been a number of incentives. One of the probably controversial ones south of the border has been the marriage initiatives, where there's been government funding for marriage education and marriage promotion, and the results are fairly mixed on that as well. But one of the initiatives that I've seen that I think has been effective and that I like is a community marriage initiative where those who are performing weddings and marriages in the community, and this is mostly among the religious community, religious officiants, would come together and have a common understanding that we're going to promote, say, family counseling for couples that are going to be getting married and make that a requirement. We're going to support counseling for blended families and just kind of make that an available aspect in our community. And I think we've seen some encouraging results in that so far in the last 20 years.
But the reality is that unless we go back to having 2.1 children, would that be per woman?
That's right, yeah.
Per adult woman, 2.1 children per adult woman, unless we go back to those days, our population will continue to shrink unless we have immigration.
Yeah, and I think it might not even be an either-or. Immigration alone certainly won't help, but certainly the incentives in trying to encourage higher fertility doesn't seem to be necessarily breaking that point as well. So it might not be an either or. It might be both. One of the things that we are also seeing, in along with a lower fertility rate, is that we have an aging society, and that's where we're seeing the crunch. For the first time in Canadian history, in about five or 10 years, we're going to see that we'll have more people over the age of 65 than people under the age of 15. So we're going to have an aging society. It'll need more. Probably using more healthcare dollars, more retirement benefits, and less people to fill the gap. And I think that's probably what Jason Kenney was talking about.
Perhaps I'm reading too much into the German numbers that I'm looking at now on the screen, but I see that there was a slight increase in their birth rate in 2007 after they added some of these incentives. And then, of course, we went into the recessionary period, and I can understand families being a little ginchy during a recession about the idea of having more babies. But it does appear that the decline in the German birth rate has slowed. And I'm wondering whether, you know, whether some of these incentives, financial incentives they're providing, are at least slowing the decline in the birth rate.
That may be possible. That may be true. Certainly, it's not that incentives don't work at all. It's just that you have to spend a lot of money to get a little bit of a result. So, and that's one of the ways of going and providing incentives. The other one of the other ways is to help families keep more money in their pocket. Something that we've talked about at the IMFC here has been income splitting and the idea of in other countries, I think France is one of them, where they look at children as a tax unit, and so they can spread the income over the members of the family. Basically, what it does is it reduces the tax burden on families, particularly as they grow and get larger as well. So that's one way of giving parents some of their money back, letting them stay in their pockets and make decisions for their family.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. I think it's a discussion we're probably going to embark upon because it hasn't been discussed for the last decade, and people are now starting to look at it, especially, I think, because of the rising rate of immigration. And Canadians are wondering whether the nature of the country itself is being changed as a result of that. Peter John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Peter John Mitchell from the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.